Let's give the Lord a praise, and we'll welcome those. All right. Thank you so much for everyone tuning in. We want you to know you're loved. And we count it an honor for you to join in with us. And this series, which started out as a one sermon, is now, I've already announced it. I'm announcing today is already going to be a part four. And, you know, I'm so relaxed about it. It's just okay. And because I want to tell you, these guys probably don't know this, but sermons have a way of growing, right? Yes, they do know it. I know you do. And but I want to tell you, I just there's just so much in this. Just even an experience this week with the little woman that she knew she was saved, because that's what I always start out with. You know, you don't. I don't assume anyone is, and until you know we talk about it and they share, they have a testimony. If you've been saved, you have a testimony. But I'm here to tell you, you know, just so sweet. You know, she knew she was saved, but boy, her little life's in a mess. You know, it's easy to get there, isn't it? This world will help you get there. But you know what it was? She knew she was saved, but she didn't know she was loved. And I want to tell you, that's what this series is all about. His love sets us free. And there's nothing, and this is what I shared with you, nothing can separate you from the love of God, no matter how high, how low, seen or unseen, human or not. Nothing can separate you from the love. And when I said this, there was some breakthrough. I said, you, not even yourself. Not even the one you see in the mirror can separate you from the love of God. And I know we can feel unloved. But I know, I'm telling you something. When you're in Christ and you know Jesus and you feel unloved, that's a lie. It's a lie. And I want to tell you, our storms, man, this is kind of hard. And it touches me to even say it. But it's true. Our storms in this journey, I'm not saying God sends the storms. You know, the Lord Jesus was real clear. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I want to tell you, any storm that you're going through, the Lord can redeem whatever you're going through when it's surrendered to Him, when you submit to Him. And but storms have a way of revealing the lies we've believed. Boy, I kind of want that to sink in with you. Because I want to tell you, Jesus came, and He is grace, and He is truth. And His grace has provided for your help from Him. For you have freedom by His grace. He paid for it on the cross for you to freely come to Him and to freely receive. And any lie that tells you that you're separated from the Lord when you know Christ, any lie, even your failure or whatever it is, I want to tell you, that's not enough to keep you from Him. I want to tell you, we got to align ourselves with the truth, and Jesus is truth. And Jesus is grace. You know how you spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. And it's so beautiful that He's already paid the price for you to freely come. And when we believe the truth, when we see Him and His love for us, you'll come running. And I want to tell you, when you come to the Lord, His truth and His grace, His love has a way of setting you free. And that's what this series is about. I'm going to tell you a couple stories. I've already told you one, but here's a couple more. There was this was in a church situation, kind of a large church. And the little lady that was over, I think she was over the four-year-olds. And what an exciting group. All right, I got grandkids that age, so I really identify. But she was over the four-year-olds, and there was one little fella in the class. You know, it was a pretty good-sized class. It was about 10 or 12 in that, four-year-olds. And there was one little fella in the class that was a full-timer. Now, do you know what that is? Now, one of my sons was a full-timer. I mean, tell you, they just all that and a bag of chips. And they just busy, you know. And he was always messing with the kids in the class, and he was trying to be funny and always playing stuff, you know, pulling on the girls' hair, you know, and taking their little toys or whatever. You know, he was just a mess, and she was at the place where she just did not know what to do. She had already requested special help to come to the class just to keep him in the class. And he was that kind of a little fella. And while she was there, she had decided to take him outside for a little break and kind of let him run a little bit and come back in. You know the benefit of that. And while she was walking them out, she saw the church counselor come by, and she just said, "Help." And she reached out and grabbed him, and she said, "Watch this." And he watched, and sure enough, the little fella, he was just messing with people, and he was having way too much fun. And she said, "What do you do with someone like this?" And he thought for a second, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "Find something to brag on and pour it on." Now, I want to tell you, that sounded a little strange to her. But she said, "Well, I don't know how long that's going to take." And so anyway, sure enough, she was thinking about how to do this and how to make this happen. And, you know, she said, "How am I going to celebrate this little fellow when all the time I just want to get on to him?" And sure enough, she turned around and looked, and they, of course, they were outside, and there was a little water fountain, you know. And when she turned around, she noticed that the little girl had a little purse, and she was trying to get a drink and couldn't get the fountain on, and he was watching her. And she thought something bad didn't happen. But no, he walked over, and he turned the knob for her so she could get a drink. And she said, "Praise God, this is it. This is it. I found something I could brag on." And she took them and just celebrated them and bragged on them. "Thank you so much for doing that. That is so sweet of you." Now, see, I want to tell you, that's just like Jesus, to help people. And I just want you to know that I am so proud of you. Well, she turned around and said, "Okay, boy, I did. I poured it on. Okay, I celebrated, man. You know, what is that going to do?" But I celebrated him. And about the time she turned back around, she noticed that he had every kid in the class lined up to get a drink. And he would turn in the knob. And I want to tell you, exhortation's powerful. But I want to tell you, if we'd take time to be still and listen, recognize the Lord and listen, I want to tell you, he's investing life into us. And he'll whisper those precious words to you that will love on you, that will exhort you, that will set you free, that will absolutely be life to you right now. Now, for the rest of the year, she says, but until they graduated out and she got another group, she said for the rest of the year, she had a helper. She had a leader in the class. And she had a buddy. And I just wonder, you know, the power of words are so strong. And I just want you to listen, because I want to tell you, a lot of times, the Lord will whisper to you exhortation. And you let him love on you. And then guess what's going to happen? Maybe through the day, the Lord will use exhortation in you to love on somebody else. He'll love on other people through you. And it's absolutely so precious about the divine appointments that come when we practice recognizing him and receiving his love life. Absolutely amazing. I had a group of teens, and we had taken the teens up to North Carolina area, and I think it was Pigeon Forge, if I've got it right, that area. And we were kind of, you know, kind of turned the teens loose, and we always had to have a head count. We got to at least have at least one plus what we brought, okay, in order to come home. You know, everybody get home. And so, but sure enough, we'd kind of turned them loose, and they were checking out the little area and everything, had a time for them to come back. And there was this guy out there that was doing this street painting. You seen these guys? And, man, he's just amazing. And I just was stopping watching him a little bit, and I just couldn't help it. I had to interview him a little bit. And so I'm asking him some questions because, man, this guy was just so good. And I asked him, I said, "Man, how did you ever come to the place in your life where you do this?" And he said, "Are you asking how I became a painter?" I said, yeah, how did this happen? Because I can't even write my name and people see it. My wife has the gift of interpretation, is how she reads my notes. But I'm just telling you, I have messy handwriting. And so, you know, I'm just impressed if anybody can absolutely paint something like that, because that's way out of my league. And he said, I think it all started. And he stopped and he said, "You know what? I want to tell you when I became a painter." And I said, "Great." He said, "I was about," he said, 3 or 4 years old. It was one of my earliest memories ever. And he said, I don't know how it happened, but I found some paints, and I decided to go to painting, and it was on Mama's floor. And he said, "Man, I was having so much fun, had a big time," and she come walking in, and she saw all this on her floor. And he said, I'll never forget looking over there. And he said, I thought for a moment, uh-oh. You know, he had an uh-oh moment. And he said, when he was watching her, he said she frowned and she stopped and paused. And then she smiled and she said, you know, you're going to make an amazing painter one day. And he said, I think that's when the painter was born in me. And so I'm here to announce something to you. The Lord loves you. And we know He loves us because the Word says so. We know He loves us because He died for you. But I want to tell you what's very, very important. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I want to tell you something. You also need to have such a fellowship, love life with Him, where you hear Him say to you, with your name on it, I love you. And His way, His love, has a way, according to the Bible, of chasing all kind of fear, all kind of junk out the door of your life. His love is that powerful. And I know church life has a way in some places to try to get that to happen in other ways. But I want to tell you, a priority in the Bible, all the way through Scripture, priority with Jesus is His love. As a matter of fact, the whole kingdom is based on His love. Without His love, whatever's done don't even count. That's clear. And I want to tell you, He wants you to know, and He wants you to receive it. He wants you to know in your knower, not just here. Remember, that foot is a long ways. But when it goes from your brain to your heart, because the Bible is written to your heart, use your brain, don't forget it, but I want to tell you, don't let it stop there. It needs to be a personal experience with Jesus, experiential love. Everybody that's got that so far, say amen. Well, that means you've probably listened to the first two sermons. Okay, so His love sets us free. Now, I want to tell you, I don't like religion, but I love Jesus. But His life sets you free from a distant relationship. Religion is a type of that. It's a distant relationship. But I want to tell you what Jesus does. He brings you into a close fellowship. Is that great? Hey, intimate fellowship. An intimate fellowship relationship with Him. And you know what? It's free will. I want to tell you, salvation, everlasting life, is for all who receive. That's clear in Scripture. God doesn't force it on you. But He's made it available for everybody. If you receive, He's not going to do it without you. It requires your yes. And that's how we describe faith. Faith is your yes to God. And so, not only that, but He also paid for everlasting life. He also paid for abundant life. See, everlasting life doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts when you receive Christ. And abundant life is for us in the nasty now and now. And it's love life with Jesus. Again, free will for all who receive. Now, I know when I say something like this, it sounds kind of strong, but you know, you're just as close to God as you're willing to be. Because I want to tell you, He wants you close. And He paid for all of us to be close. He's not showing favoritism. I want to tell you, He's no respecter of persons. He wants that for you. There's room for you close to His heart. But I want to tell you, He's not going to do it without your cooperation, without your yes. And so this is why we talk about salvation is a forever yes to God. But in order to walk with Him, there needs to be a daily yes, a continual yes to God. That's where our faith comes in, saying yes to Him. And so it's for us. There's so much more is part of our message. And so we get to know how wonderful He is. Isn't that great? And we get to show others how wonderful He is. That's Jesus' life. And it happens, you say, well, how do I get from here to there? You know what? We get to know Him the same way we get to know humans. And the same way we get to know human relationship. You know, you cannot, I shared with the teens the other night that, you know what, how could I, my beautiful blonde's not here, but how could I have the amazing relationship that we have if I just sent one text to her every day saying the same thing? What if I just read one text from her a day and it say the same thing. You know, there's not a lot of relationship. There's not, we couldn't get to know each other better that way. You know what it takes to get to know someone? Is that it requires heart-to-heart time. You know what it requires? Some face-to-face time. You know what it requires? It requires hearing a heartbeat. And it requires, get this, interaction. It requires appreciation and celebration, thankfulness, gratefulness. And I want to tell you, that's what the Lord loves. I want to tell you what He loves. He loves interaction with you. He loves interaction with you. I know there's some places that say, well, if you'll just do this, it'll make him happy and he'll leave you alone. He won't be mad at you. That's not relationship. Okay, that's a slavish type of fear. And New Testament says we've been freed from that. We're sons and daughters. And I want to tell you, I believe in us being disciples, but I want to tell you, it even goes farther than that. Because you're a son or you're a daughter of the living God. Now, do sons and daughters serve? Well, they ought to, sure. But I want to tell you, the most priority thing is fellowship, relationship. They are loved. And they know they're loved. And I want to tell you, God has that for you. It requires, He wants interaction. He wants you to share your heartbeat with Him. And He wants you to practice being still and listening to His heartbeat for you. One of the ways we do this is through this precious word. You see, this is a love letter. I know some places, they look at it and say, this is the list of don'ts or the list of no's. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of yeses in the Bible. And big yes of the Bible is that He loves you and He wants you to know Him and have relationship, fellowship with Him. And I want to tell you, when you get to know, you see, the purpose of the book is not to show you the no's. The purpose of the book is get you to know Him, to know the author. And when you get to know the author, I want to tell you, it gives you great revelation on seeing what He's saying, knowing what He's saying, seeing what He's doing. And this is the big thing, because the Holy Spirit does this. Shows you who He is to you. Because who He is here is who He is here. And man, this makes an exciting adventure. But He wants to draw your heart. I want to tell you what He's doing. He is courting you to Himself. I know that's an old word. I have to explain it to the teens. But it's talking. That's what they say. You know, they're talking. Well, you used to say they're courting. But it's the same thing. You know, He's talking to your heart. He wants you to talk to His heart. And He's drawing you. Somebody say grace. He's drawing you. He's drawing you to Himself. And He wants to do that. And we've taught this in simple ways, because the Lord talks to me real simple. But we recognize Him. We receive Him and we respond to Him. It's the three R's. If you hadn't heard it, I'll be back to it. But here's the testimony of a lot of folks that I come in contact with, because it's amazing. Pastors would probably agree with, it's amazing how many people outside that church that used to belong to the church. Are y'all shocked by that? I run across them all the time. Oh, I used to do church. I used to go to church. Matter of fact, you'll hear this, at one time I served, you know. I was really active. Yeah, I used to do a lot. And so you hear that kind of stuff. Do you know? Yeah, I'm saved, but I fell into this prison of legalism. I got overwhelmed by the rules and regulations. I could not keep up with all the duties that I had to do in order to try to please them. I couldn't do everything I needed to do to keep them from getting mad. And I want to tell you, it's people that don't know them. That's not God. That's a type of religion. You know, Jesus came to a very religious people that didn't know Father. And one of His main goals was to reveal to that religious generation who Father really was. They thought He was all about the rules. They thought He was mad. They thought He'd be bad if you be bad. They thought He was hard to please. But I want to tell you something. Jesus came to reveal a Father that was opposite of that. That's a big part of His ministry. It's still part of ours. But you hear people say, man, I worked hard. I gave money. You know, I served. I tried to be a better person. But honestly, I still got these habits, and I couldn't get rid of the habits. And you know, I had these things, and, you know, I was feeling guilty, and I tried to be a better person. But, you know, it just didn't work for me. That's kind of what we hear. We also hear this. Somebody hurt my feelings. I got Tear in the Beer song. And you know, they felt guilty. And you know, it can't, some of them say something like this. You know, I just found it easier not to go. Well, you know, that's kind of what we hear people say about exercise, you know. Sometimes you just come to the place where it's just easier not to. Well, you know, he never called us to the easy route. And he never called us to focus on people at church. I want to tell you, I know there's a lot of entertainment heartbeat at church, and it's okay for people to have a good time. I want to tell you, when you have the joy of Jesus and you're enjoying him, you're going to have a great time. But the purpose, the main purpose, is not entertainment per se. It's worship. It's honoring him. It's putting him first, not just at church, but in our life. And so that's a very, very important dip. But when we get that lined out, it's amazing what happens. But we're not to focus on people. We're to come focus on the Lord. Somebody say amen. And it helps me move on. But if you try to live the Christian life out of your human strength, then you're one frustrated, tired, bored, defeated, it don't work for me Christian. One of my great heroes in the Lord used to present that, you know what? Everybody has to go through the school of Christ. Everybody has to realize that your strength's not enough. All your gifting's not enough. Your brains are not enough. Your cuteness is not enough. We got to come to the place where we surrender everything we know about self to Savior. And we take on the school of Christ. We learn of him. We let him be him. But see, it's easy for people not to know about grace, about love life with Jesus. Let me just say this real quickly. The Christian life's not based on you. The Christian life is based on how amazing he is. It's his love and his life that will set you free and fulfill you. Sometimes I find myself, because we get to preach in other churches and stuff, and that's a blast. I love it. I count it a great honor. But you know what? Sometimes we find that people say, you know what? I know I need to love the Lord more. And I want to tell you that can be a wrong emphasis if you focus in on your love for the Lord. The way to get free is not focus on your love, because your love will never measure up. Let's be honest. But what we do is that we focus on his love for us. Now that's where we get free. That's where we get changed. You know what? That's where his love will set you free and fulfill you. Bible becomes then, instead of a book of notes, it becomes a love letter with life-advancing instruction. But you know, when you know you're loved, it's a whole lot easier to receive it and to see it. And you get to see Jesus in here. Man, you get to see him in his word. And that's what we call revelation. You get to know Jesus better. Man, that's an exciting adventure that you should never get bored with. And I can say, if you're bored in your Christianity, that's a dangerous place. We've seen some mighty men of God, am I right? Some mighty men of God get off track because they get bored. Well, I want to tell you, if you're bored, then you're not interacting with Jesus. Because there's always more. There's deeper, according to Paul, deeper and deeper and deeper levels of his love. And he wants us to experience them. And so you get to know Jesus better. We talk about it like this. It's his grace. His grace has provided for us to get. We're free to get to know him better. And we talk about it like this, the three P's, his passion. That's kind of how his grace manifests. You say, well, grace, what is it? It's his love. But how does it show up? His love in you. It's his passion for you. And his passion for others. The next thing would be his presence. You get to literally enjoy the presence of the Lord wherever you are and wherever you go. You're a mobile worship center that gets to experience the very presence of God. Wherever you go, the presence of God, the kingdom of God is going with you. That makes for exciting destinations. And not only his passion, his presence, but his power. You know, it's just way beyond us. I want to tell you, I'm just announcing to you, if there's not power, Jesus power, spiritual power, spirit power in the church, then we're like any other organization that's planning to be nice and do good. We're much more than that. The church is to be a supernatural church, a supernatural extension of His power flowing through us. Hey, that's the Lord. I'm convinced that the latter rain is greater than the former rain. I know in the conferences, especially the conferences that I've preached in, they'll talk about the early church and how exciting that was, but now this is where we are. Well, I want to tell you, the baby church experienced power, experienced His presence, experienced His passion to the place that they loved not their lives unto death. Then I want to tell you, that was the beginning. I really believe that in the latter days, we're going to see a manifestation of the church that's greater than the baby church. It's all right if you don't want to shout me down on that one. It took me a while to get there. But that's where I'm at. Because I want to tell you, I think He loves to manifest Himself with by His grace. And when we get a hold on this, I want to tell you, He's alive. His love life is what transforms us. I know a lot of education-based churches focus on behavior modification. You've heard me say it once. I'll continue to say it. It's inside transformation that makes the difference. That's Him changing us. His love, His word does that. We can renew, change the computer, the old computer to the new, till we agree with the Lord. But see, I want to tell you, the great blessing of grace comes. And it's not just for us. See, this is where I have a little problem with some teaching. They talk about, you know, it's all about you. It's all about you. No. Make it all about Him. And I want to tell you, you'll see through the Lord's eyes that it is about you because He's got you in mind. But then it doesn't stop with you. It's about others. And so the kingdom, the love life, the blessing of the Lord on your life is to flow through others. If not, then you become like the Dead Sea. Everything goes in, nothing goes out. Big difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is full of life, even to this day, right, Pastor Ben? Even to this day, they fish. I mean, it's life there. They flow in, flow out. That's the way we're still supposed to be a channel of that love life and of that blessing. If you understand that, say amen. When you're walking in His love life, serving's not a pain. Okay? It's an extension of His love to others. Well, that makes a difference. I want to show you Malachi 3:16 because this talks about love life. Malachi 3:16. And this is out of the Amplified, and I think you have it in your notes there, right? Amen. Okay, then those who feared the Lord. Now, the fearing the Lord is not talking about being afraid of Him. Well, we've covered this a lot, but it's the New Testament comparison to loving the Lord with all your heart. It's loving the Lord with intensity, with all in. Somebody say all in. It's loving the Lord. They talked often one to another, and that's what happens when people love Jesus. They talk about Jesus. I love to get around folk, and when I'm around folk, I was around some folks Saturday morning. And you know what? I just listened a lot until people started talking to me. But I listened because you know what? When you listen, you're going to find out what people love the most. I'm telling you, it comes out. But I want to tell you, if they love Jesus, there's not a doubt in your mind because you know what they're going to talk about? They're going to talk about Jesus. And so this is what happens to people who love the Lord. They talk often one to another. And listen to this. The Lord listening. The Lord's listening. You know He's listening. Sometimes you may forget He's listening. But I want to tell you, the Lord's listening. And I want to tell you, here you are talking about Him. Catch this now, because this is love life. It's so precious to Him what you're saying, that you're loving on Him and loving about Him, and you're talking to someone else about your love for the Lord. It's so precious to Him that He hears it and He has it recorded. I know that we talk sometimes about, you know, the books in heaven. And, you know, there's a salvation book, you know, the Lamb's Book of Life. You receive Christ, your name's written in that. It's a beautiful picture. But I want to tell you, there's other books in heaven. One of them is the Book of Remembrance. And in the Book of Remembrance, He is having, can you see this? Here you are talking to someone about Jesus, and an angel's recording. The Lord's listening to it. He's loving it because you're loving on Him when you're talking about Him. And he's having an angel record what you say about him. Why? Because it's precious to him. He loves it. It blesses him. We talk sometimes about, bless the Lord, oh my soul. How do you bless the Lord? You know what? You talk about him. You know what? You bless him. You praise him. You know what? This ministers to the Lord. Can you imagine that? The Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You get to minister to him. You bless him when you love him and you talk about him. Not only talking, there's more. You want to see it? Thank you. Okay, I will then. Let's share it. Of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord, and even those who thought on his name. Wow. Now that's good. You know what that's saying is that even your thoughts about him are so precious to the Lord. He's having an angel record that in a book of remembrance. Your thoughts about him. Now I want to tell you, sometimes we'll say this little saying, you know, been thinking about you. Oh, brother, how you doing? Well, man, I'm thinking about you. Well, you know, there's something more than thinking is praying. But I want to tell you something. That's a way that we reflect to someone that we love and that we're thinking about him. I want to tell you something. I like it. And the beautiful blonde sends me a romantic text because it means she's thinking about me. Come on now. Now I'm here to tell you, you know, back in the day, before electronics, when I was going to Bible school, some of the little girls from high school would send me little letters, you know. And, you know, you go to the campus mailbox and everybody else's mailbox is there waiting for the mail to come. And so I opened that up, you know, and you could smell those letters. Now, see, the young ones don't understand this. I had to explain. You could smell them, and you open them up, and, man, they smell sweet. Matter of fact, they smell like her because she had dropped a little perfume off in there. Now, I want to tell you something. You could read that over and over, and you could kind of hear even the inflection of her voice as she was sharing. And you could kind of picture in her mind. You understand where I'm going? That's what we're to do with the Word, the love letter of the Lord. We're to focus on Jesus, see Jesus in the Word, hear his voice, seek him, see him, hear him. Let it be about him. But I want to tell you something. When you're thinking about him, I want to tell you it's a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. And I want to tell you it's precious to him. When you meditate on him and think on him because you're loving on him. Now, I want to tell you what hit me in high school. And this is why that for generations, every time, because we're covering it right now with the teenagers, is about how to develop your book of remembrance. Because it hit me as a teenager. If he has a book of remembrance about me, I want a book of remembrance about him. And that's what we call our, with the guys, we call it journals. With the girls, we call it diaries, you know. But have you a spiritual journal or diary where you record what the Lord's saying to you? You record how you see him. Because when you look in the Word and see Jesus, you focus on God, you're going to see God. It's not the educational information. It is a history book, but it's far more than that. You see past the history and see him. And when you see him, that becomes a part of his story in your life. But when you see him, you see who he is. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll give you revelation. When you focus on Jesus and the Word, on what he says and what he does, the Holy Spirit will show you who he is. Now, that's a simple thing, but it makes a big difference. And so everybody ought to have some kind of book of remembrance. One of the things I have to tell the teens is this cannot be a law to you. Because we're so good at making things laws. Okay, this is a tool. It's a memory tool. It's a tool to help you focus on the Lord. If you make it a law, you can miss. A rule can become a rut. But see Jesus. Think on him. Meditate on him. Remember him. In the Word. You know what? It's ask. A-S-K. Keep asking, seeking, and knocking till you see him. And he loves that interaction. That's where thanksgiving and praise comes in. Because when you're seeing the Lord and you're counting your many blessings, I want to tell you, that thanksgiving is a gate. It's a door. It's beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, the previous moral, spiritual condition has passed away. I love this so much. Listen to this. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Now, but I want to tell you, that's real. And you know where that happens? Right here in your spirit. You come to Christ, I want to tell you, you're brand new in your spirit. I'm telling you. Hey, and not a baby Jesus in there. Full-grown spirit. Full-grown right here. The very power of God dwells in you. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The fullness of God, according to the Bible, the fullness of God dwells in you. And so it's right here in your spirit. Now, when I look in the mirror, I'm not different. One day it will be, because one day I'll get a new body. That'll be fun. My spirit has been changed. My body will be, but right now it's soul time. Where, you know what? We're surrendering this soul and practice renewing our mind, and the Lord is transforming this soul to be more like Him. That's the journey. You can't ignore that. Okay? This is what it takes to grow, to develop. He wants you to be more like Him, but it requires some cooperation on your part. It's the exchanged life, but you're the one. You got to surrender. You got to submit. We got to practice receiving grace, His love life, the Zoe life, the abundant life. I love this about grace. I hope this is in your notes. It goes like this. It's the unmerited, abounding provision of the operation of God's unrestrained love. Is that beautiful? There's more. You want to hear it? Freely received through those who depend on Him. Now, that's really our definition of humility, is depending on the Lord. And there's this walk in this life where we learn to walk in the Spirit. You don't walk in self. You don't walk in the flesh. You don't walk by the power of self. You surrender self and you receive of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. But see, this is done by faith. It's our yes to God we receive. We see the effects of grace. I'm trying to explain to you that everything that Jesus has provided is in the spiritual realm. It's already there for us. Not only is it here for us, but it's here for us in the Spirit. And our part, and this is by faith. See, it's faith is the bridge here. But it's faith to, and you know what's in the Spirit is the invisible. What's in here is the invisible. And we live in the visible. But the key is to not believe in the visible over the spiritual. Now, I'm not saying that the visible is not real. I've never said that. What I'm talking about is in the spiritual realm, or in your spirit, there's a greater reality. See, the kingdom of God is a greater reality than this physical world. And so you can't park at the physical world. You got to see Jesus. We got to learn how, by grace, through faith, receive from the invisible to the visible. You see that? Okay, I hope you do. That might be too simple. You might have missed it. But we see the effects of grace. His presence, His passion, His power. Titus 2, look at verse 11. For the grace of God, His unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward. What's His name? Jesus. Jesus appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. Verse 12 is this. It has trained us. Do you see this? I got asked this spring by a pastor. They said, why is it that some pastors start with grace and then they go to law? Man, we see that happen a lot. And my answer came out, and it kind of sounded rude, but I'm just going to tell you the way it came out. It's because pastors start with grace, but they believe that the power of sin is greater than the power of grace. And so they start adding a bunch of do's and don'ts in order to try to help their people be holy. Now, it's good. Holiness is a great goal, but it's not accomplished by the law. It's not accomplished. I mean, the law is holy, but it won't make you holy. That wasn't even the purpose. But I'm telling you, it's not the do's and don'ts. You know, holiness comes by transformation on the inside. And so what I'm telling you is this, is that they believe in the power of sin greater than the power of grace. But I'm telling you, the Bible's clear that if we'll walk in His grace and be an active receiver of His love and His grace and allowing Him to do His work, His love work in us, then He is able to do super abundantly. He's able then. And so there's just some cooperation. I'm not saying we work to get it. We position our heart to receive it. Do you see a difference? I hope you do. But look at this. His grace trains us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. It's not from pastor peer pressure, okay? It's by grace. He trains us to renounce all ungodliness. And he trains us to reject or renounce all worldly passionate desires. Now, I want to tell you, when you start getting into the desire part of a person's life, I want to tell you that's a lot of times where addictions lie. And I want to tell you, those addictions can be very, very strong. And I want to tell you, that's stronger than you. But I want to tell you something, it's weak compared to Jesus. Any addiction is weak compared to Jesus. And I want to tell you the beauty, and we get to see this, the beauty of it is getting people to connect with Jesus and be a receiver of his grace and of his love and watch his love, his grace, set people free. Well, there's living examples all over this building. But he trains us, grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passionate desires. Is that great? And look at this, to live godly. To renounce ungodliness and to live godly. Look, it looks like here in the Word. To live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives. I love this in Amplified because it brings out the language. But wholeness. You know what? God's desire for you is wholeness. Isn't that great? Now, the world don't know what to do with that. But Jesus has a way. He's our rescue. He's the transformer. Okay, and he wants to not only grace will not only train us to reject ungodliness, but how to live godly. He does it. It's from inside out, not from outside in. How to live godly lives in this evil world. Is that possible? Yes, this is talking about abundant living. This is talking about spirit-filled living. This is talking about Zoe life. And I want to tell you, it's Jesus kind of life. It's not human life. It's Jesus' life in you. Now look at this, verse 13, beautiful. Awaiting and looking, and I tell you, it's powerful to wait on the Lord. And I just got to say this. You know, waiting is not being a bump on a stump. Waiting is not being inactivity. We're not talking about, when we're talking about waiting, the other word is resting in the Lord. But it's not talking about just sleeping your way through. Matter of fact, waiting on the Lord is putting your hope, your trust, your dependence on him. It's leaning on him. You know what? Waiting on the Lord is not inactivity. It's spiritual directed activity. That's good. And so let's do that. Ask, A-S-K, ask, seek not. And you know what? The Lord shows us himself. And so what are we looking for? That fulfillment or that realization of our blessed hope. Now, the blessed hope here, and I want to tell you, sometimes it's all thrown together, just like people do communion, just throw it all together. But there's a distinction here. When we're talking about the blessed hope, we're talking about the abundant life, spirit-filled life, the fullness, life, the everlasting life in this journey in the right now. That's that part. It's like a coin. It's got two sides. That's one of the hope right there, is that his life promises that we're believing, trusting in, leaning toward, become active and fulfilled in our very life. It doesn't mean that attacks don't come. It don't mean that famines don't come. It means that we see him and experience him as the all-living supply. Okay. The other side of the coin is beautiful too. And so there's an expectation here that we're moving and we're allowing the Lord. See, a great testimony is the Lord changed me. The Lord saved me. The Lord changed me. Also, I want to tell you a great testimony. The Lord is changing me. Yes. Yes. The other side of the coin is this. It's beautiful. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so I'm telling you that his grace, love, life teaches us to receive and live godliness, and to reject and renounce ungodliness. It's not rules, it's a relationship. It's love, life, fellowship. And so this blessed hope of overcoming life more and more, this blessed hope of being more than a conqueror in this life, it's real. He would not tease us with a promise. He's not a teaser. He's not a liar. He's not blowing smoke. I'm trying to say it in the nicest way I can. But I'm telling you what he is. When he says something, it's ever living true. And the promise that he paid for on the cross, Him rising again from the dead makes it true and available for every one of us. This is real. It's Him. It's just Jesus. And that's what people need to see and want to see in our life. That it's not education, it's not the brain, it's not our skill or our cuteness. It was Jesus that transformed us. And when they look at our life, they see Jesus. And I want to tell you, when that happens, we're free to anticipate His appearing. And there's an emphasis in Scripture because, you know, a lot of Christians want to talk about death. But I want to tell you, that's not to be our focus. Death's not our focus. You know what we're to look forward to? The fulfillment of His abundant life in us in the right now, the nasty now, and also His appearing. And so our focus is to be His appearing, not death. Do you see that? Now, it makes a heaven of a lot of difference when you have the right expectation and the right focus. And that doesn't happen without focusing on Jesus. But by focusing on Jesus, it can be you. I'm going to tell you this, and I got to stop. Be a part four. But it goes like this. See, my beautiful blonde's away. I'm anticipating her return. I want to tell you how I'm anticipating her return. Hey, I'm getting things ready at the house, my friend. Listen to me. I'm getting the house in order. When she comes in, I want her to smile, man. I want to be able to celebrate her arrival. And so I want to tell you, there's some things I'm doing outside and doing things inside. Okay? Loaded that dishwasher this morning. Come on. Went ahead and picked some things up. Gave Alma some instructions while I was gone this morning. And I'm going to hurry back before she gets back this afternoon to finish some things. You know why? Because I'm getting prepared. And I want to tell you, it makes a big difference in household living when I'm anticipating and look forward to her return. It's not deep, but it's real. When we're anticipating His return and looking for Him, and we're expecting and believing. You know what hope is? It's the expectation of God's goodness in your future. And when we have hope about His promises being fulfilled, see that abundant life being fulfilled in our life, and the Lord's still working on us, but we have that hope of expectation of His goodness. I want to tell you, that gives you a preciousness, because in that hope, faith comes out of that. And I want to tell you, when you have that expectation of His return, could be any time, any day, then I want to tell you, it helps you have your house in order. Do you see that? It's not because of a rule. You know why I'm doing what I'm doing, getting ready for the beautiful blonde to arrive? It's because of love, my friend. It's not because she left me a list of do's and don'ts. Because when she arrives, you know what? It's going to be some fellowship. That's all I'm allowed to say, but I want to say more. But I'm telling you something. That is what the Lord loves, is fellowship. And if we'll receive His love life fellowship, He's free to communicate with us whatever He wants to say. We're in a position to receive it. I want to tell you something. He can put a dream in our heart of what He wants to do in us and through us concerning the future. And our yes is already on. Our yes. And we're able to take that dream seed and we're able to agree with Him. Oh, I'm telling you. Hey, He's the one that gave it to you. He's the one that fulfills it. But He wants your cooperation, our agreement with it. And He's the one that fulfills that in our life, in our church, in your family. Can somebody say amen? All right, bow your head. I'm praying for you. Lord Jesus, we surrender. Lord Jesus, we just confess it is our honor to depend on You. And so, Lord Jesus, we take right now and we just receive the power of Your love to set us free. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that by Your grace, You train us, You teach us about the woes of ungodliness. You set us free from those worldly passions. Thank You for the yes of godliness
that, Lord, you reveal yourself and you do your kingdom life in us and through us. Lord, bring honor and glory to yourself through our lives, through this church, our family. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Give the Lord a thank you.